From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. It's Here and Now. The promise of the Singapore summit seems to be fading, and President Trump is blaming China. In a series of tweets last night, he criticized Beijing for providing aid to North Korea, and he also questioned the value of the joint military exercises between the U.S. and South Korea. President Trump canceled some of those exercises after his meeting with Kim Jong-un in June. Scott Snyder is director of the program on U.S.-Korea policy at the Council on Foreign Relations. He is with us from Washington. Scott, first off, is North Korea any less of a threat today than it was back in June just before the Singapore summit?
No, I think that the risk has remained the same in terms of the North Korean threat capability. Certainly their conventional threat is there, and even though they have not been testing their missiles, they have been producing missiles that could deliver nuclear weapons. So there's actually been no change in the threat.
No change in the threat, yet at least some of the U.S. war games, as they're called, with South Korea have been temporarily suspended, not all of them. And we know that there are these sessions that go on all the time with U.S. forces in South Korea. But the war games themselves are a major chip in these negotiations. What happens during the war games, the ones that happen, say, once or twice a year in South Korea and around there?
Yeah, well, let me just first say that war games is the term that the North Koreans and President Trump use to refer to these exercises. But these are U.S.-South Korea joint exercises that are designed to maintain readiness, to practice integration of forces in case it is necessary to implement the war plan. And that is really related to trying to deter North Korea from the thought that they could threaten military action against South Korea.
So are they offensive or defensive?
Well, they're defensive exercises. There are and have been, as North Korea has raised its level of capability and threat, I think that there have been signaling elements to them that the North Koreans interpret as offensive.
Such as what?
I think the North Koreans see preparations for entering the peninsula through from the sea to the ground as preparations of an invasion, and also the use of strategic assets. In other words, instruments that could deliver theoretically a nuclear capability on the peninsula. They have seen that signaling, I think, as very threatening from the United States.
So let's just clarify that. I mean, if the United States is practicing beach invasions, for instance, if North Korea fears that it's going to be invaded by South Korea and the U.S., does it have reason to fear that? Do you know if the United States and South Korea have any kind of designs for that?
Well, the signal is designed to be one of deterrence, to deter North Korea from considering invading the South. But I do believe that given North Korea's relative weakness, that it's understandable that they might view these exercises, elements of them, as threatening to North Korea's interests.
When you say North Korea's relative weakness, the U.S. and South Korea are up against a 1 million-plus man army there. What's the weakness?
The weakness is in the level of technology that their forces can employ. Really, the nuclear option is, I think, intended by the North Koreans to be a leveler. And, of course, that also becomes an additional threat that the U.S. and South Korea have to plan against the possible use of.
So how are they planning? What are the nature of the war games, and some are coming up this fall, in fact, that the North doesn't like that the U.S. and the South will be embarking on now? These are monumental operations. What happens?
Well, these are exercises that occur over the course of 4 to 6 weeks. They involve all elements of the U.S. military, naval, including aircraft carriers near the peninsula, air, including our most modern planes, and army exercises working together with South Korean counterparts to plan for the flow of U.S. troops onto the peninsula in support of South Korea to mount a defense against a potential North Korean invasion.
So these are not kind of tabletop exercises playing out different tactics and strategies?
That's right. This is really practicing the war plan in the event that it's necessary to defend South Korea. Readiness is the critical component. The danger of pushing off exercises is really related to the fact that the average soldier is only on the peninsula for about a 24-month rotation period. And so that means that if the exercises are held annually, they get one chance to practice the war plan. So you lose, through attrition, the experience.
Retired Admiral James Stavridis says stopping the war games would be a grave error, that they are useful, that they're necessary, even if the North considers them threatening and provocative. How many United States troops are right now in South Korea?
It's around 27,000 troops on the peninsula.
So the argument for doing away with these war games, what good is deploying that many American forces without this kind of updated training?
Well, it's important for those forces to be able to perform their mission, and this is essentially training and practice in order to be able to perform that mission.
So you're making the argument for keeping them. How about on the other direction? There are some in the military who feel as though they do indeed cost too much money, and then the more the United States is there, the more dependent the South is on the U.S. Is there an argument for doing away with them altogether?
I think there could be an argument for reductions in proportion to a reduction in the threat from North Korea. The commitment that the U.S. has made is to defend South Korea from external attack. That commitment exists because South Korea is on a geopolitical and geostrategic fault line. And frankly, a withdrawal of U.S. troops from Korea and possibly from Japan would remove the essential element that has guaranteed stability in the region for decades.
Thank you. We're going to have to end it there. Scott Snyder, Director of the Program on U.S.-Korea Policy at the Council on Foreign Relations. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lisa.